This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow, unless something bad goes wrong. I do have the air blowing because it is raining outside, and the window will get a little foggy if I don't. So everything is puttering along today, and things are moving, and it's been a good week. It's been an interesting week. I've had some experiences. Unexperience. I am just so grateful. I am so grateful to be back to me. I've told other people this, and I probably mentioned this on the podcast. I don't know if I had for sure or not, but anyways, since I was a teenager, I distinctly remember the first time it happening was in high school. I have had something that I finally came to be aware of the fact that they were called silent migraines. They are electrical storms in my brain. And the only reason I'm laughing about this is because they're silent migraines, so they don't hurt. They just cause really weird things. Like half of my face going numb, or not being able to talk. Just weird. It's just weird. Usually, they start with my sight, and there's usually just like a pressure in the back of my head, and then I have little wiggly things in my eyes, just like one or two spots. Sometimes long, kind of wormy things. And I know it isn't just those floaters in your eyes because they're identical in both eyes. So obviously it's got to be farther back somewhere in the visual cortex. So then what happens is those get bigger and bigger and bigger. I can't remember if I've talked about this or not. They get bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually they disappear, but I can actually physically feel the storm floating forward in my brain. And so then it starts moving forward from behind. And at one point, it will cross my speech centers and I will get word salad, where I know the words that I want to say, but they will just not come out. Or I have to slow really down, slow. And then I can talk if I talk really slow. So anyways, that hit on Tuesday. Now, mind you, in times past when this has occurred, the whole transit, all of it, it's under an hour. I mean, from the time I start seeing the dots until, you know, I'm back to normal and I might have just a little residual, just a little kind of feeling of it, though, pressure, it's there, but that's it. This one started Tuesday morning. And I had some spots in my eyes when I was making myself breakfast, and I was thinking, okay, what's going on? And so I went head on, you know, fixed everything, went to work, and that kind of stuff, and I was having some pressure in my brain, and the spots had kind of disappeared, but over the left side of my head was just starting to hurt. And then the word salad kicked in, and it hung around. It was kind of mild. I could actually talk if I talked a little slower, but I had a meeting with a buddy, and I apologized. I said, man, I'm really sorry. I do know what's going on the inside, but I just can't. And then it lightened up during that meeting, and he said at one point, yeah, he said, you sound a lot better. I said, yeah, I'm getting there. But then I had a meeting in the afternoon, and it was one of those meetings that we weren't going to be able to meet for like a week, week and a half. And I was like, ah, I got to make this work. And so I went over to that meeting, and I told them, I said, look, there's something going on. I apologize. I'm not going to be able to work very clearly, but I can work. Let's go ahead and do this. And my head's, you know, pounding. I mean, it's pounding by this point. But nothing's tingling, you know, nothing's tingling. It's just, you know. So anyways, I go ahead and get about a half an hour into the meeting. And finally, I just tell them, look, I'm really sorry. I said, but I just need to go home. And they said, no, that's fine. And by this time, I'm starting to get a little nauseous. Because I think this was the first migraine I have ever had that actually hurt. So, yay, progress. But, you know, the reason I'm a little bit lighthearted about this is because years ago when I finally figured out what a silent migraine was, I actually realized it was based on activity in the brain and excessive activity and, you know, and I could actually calm myself down and shut it off. And I actually haven't had any kind of an incident like that lands. 2 years? It's been a while. Once I finally figured out what these mysterious feelings were in my head and why I couldn't talk when they were going on, I thought, well, this is silly. If this is just brain activity and if it's just sparking up and doing weird stuff, I'm just going to calm myself down. And up till now, that was working pretty good. Although, I do think I know on Tuesday what was causing it all. We had a lot of stuff going on simultaneously. I was just finishing up with the cover on the latest book. I was ramping up, starting to do taxes. I was coming up to a big deadline and a big demonstration at work. My beloved had been living with her mom for the last several weeks. It was actually for the last 4 weeks to kind of help her mom through the transition of her husband dying. That particular day, the day before on Monday, you know, my beloved was struggling and I had been talking to her about that. And, you know, it's just this whole kind of combination of things and blah, 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 blah. You know, if you let it pile up, it will pile up. So, Tuesday, it was really interesting because it was counterintuitive, but I was almost certain that it was the right thing to do. So, I managed to make it home. It was a little touch and go there driving for a while, but I did manage to make it home. And I was still kind of fighting a little bit of nausea and my head was pounding and I came in and my wife said, well, hello. She wasn't expecting. I said, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to bed. That's about all I wanted to get out. And so I went in, just kind of dropped everything off, you know, changed and just crawled into bed. And I laid in bed for about 2 hours. Kind of dozing here and there, napping, head hurting. And I thought, man, this is not working. It was a little better, but it still, it wasn't working. So I was sitting there running down the list of everything that it could be. Because I do that. It's like, okay, what is going on now? So I was running down the list. All right, so you have been under a lot of stress. You have let some of that stress get to you. It could be stress. That's the first thing. Second thing, you have been taking those new versions of the stuff that's supposed to increase your NDA plus in your cell. It could be that. You have also been drinking coffee for a long time now, and you haven't actually had any coffee since Monday night, and you drank it late Monday night, it could be that. So I was just kind of ticking down the list, you know, tick, 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 trying to figure out what was going on. And I thought, well, the first thing I'm going to try is if it's not just stress, it's not going to do me any good to go walk outside. If it's not just stress, maybe I've got some food poisoning or something. Or if it's with the coffee, you know, that's not going to go away just because I go walk outside. So I decided that's it. I'm getting up. Because it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day on Tuesday. So I changed clothes again. Headed out the door. Told my wife, I'm going for a walk. And the walk did it. First thing, the walk did it. I was almost certain it was stress related and that it was a type of migraine. I just never had one that hurt before. So, moral of this story is, relax. Just relax. Everything is fine. Went out. I walked for probably 50 minutes. Stopped at a little stream down near our house, listened to the water gurgle for a while. I got back home, you know, I was feeling a little better. I went ahead and I didn't eat. I think I had a little snack, but I didn't eat. Still didn't have any coffee. I just thought, I'll just let this go and see where this goes. So then Wednesday is my fast day anyways. So on Wednesday, that's my fast day anyway, so I just went ahead and fasted, didn't drink any coffee, just waiting to see. I'm going to try some coffee tonight, see if that, you know, causes my brain to do some kind of weird spin out, and if it does, I may have to quit coffee, which would be kind of a shame, but that's fine. I can do that too. You know, I had a good day yesterday, and I was just the whole day thinking, thank God, thank God, I don't have to put up with that every day, because I know some people who suffer from migraines quite frequently, and I am not saying that their solution is just to relax. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can cause migraines. For me, in my situation, I know myself enough, well enough, to know that's my problem. So let me just make that qualification. But I was so happy Wednesday. I was like, you know, a little bit manic, depressive, manic side of it. Because it was just like, this is great. My head doesn't hurt. So, and then had a good day today. Everything's fine. I was a little, you know, just a little bit pushed back because whenever I fast all day, then the next morning, obviously, I'm going to be a little bit strung out. But you know what? I've been good. All is well. It's good. I did have an important meeting today. It was fun because I did have an important meeting today because even though I felt like everything was back and I was good, it meant I was going to have to be talking for an hour. And I was thinking, I sure hope this works. Because if my brain is not going to allow my mouth to work, this is going to be a really long meeting. But, you know, got in, we started chatting, we covered all kinds of different topics, everything was fine, we're good, haven't had any trouble since. So, you know, step at a time, moving forward, that's what I always say. So, it's good. So, yay, my head doesn't hurt today, yay. I did finish up, did order the books this week. I did get the cover finished over the weekend. That was a push, but we got it done. And it turned out well enough. That's, you know, people ask me, so do you like it? And I said, I think I have achieved the level of passable mediocrity. That's what we've done. Passable mediocrity. That's what we're going for on this, because I'm doing two of these books a year. They're about 425 pages a piece. That's a lot of writing. That's like Each book is at least 125,000 words. This last book was over 150,000 words. That's a lot of writing in 6 months part-time. So you really got to plow. And now that I've accomplished all that and I was on target for the deadline, I was not about to get behind because I wasn't entirely happy with the cover. The cover's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's cute. It's fine. People seem to like it. It's good. So I'm in the process now of collecting beta readers. And last time I checked, I was somewhere around 31 or 32, I think. I'm going to go home and get back on Facebook. Hey, if anybody still wants to be a beta reader. So got to go begging, which is fine. Because I only do this like twice a year. And I have hundreds and hundreds of friends, but not all of them see my post, and I don't know how who sees my post or when they, so I just flood it. Morning, evening, I just flood it till I get my readers. So I've only got, I think, seven more to go. And then we'll move on to the next thing. I am waiting for them to actually print the books at this point. Because they always tell you, oh yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks. It's never 2 weeks. You know, you order them and like another 4 or 5 days later, they actually put them in the mail and they come. So I'm really hoping they put them in the mail tomorrow. That would mean I would have them on Monday. I wouldn't be too far off my April 1st deadline, which is April 1st. I wouldn't be too far off my April 1st deadline, even though I did slip a little. But the book was an extra 25,000 words. There you go. Anyways, a short little thought. Today I was on YouTube, and I've started to watch the Prager University, Prager U videos, and there's some interesting stuff in there. You know, a little different viewpoint, very conservative viewpoint, but they're well done. They're very clear, and you know, I think they're worth listening to, and they're fun. And I listened to one this last week, and I thought, you know, that is just pretty good. That really, really is pretty good, in my opinion. Since I have only one hammer, and all the world is a nail. In my opinion, it doesn't quite go far enough, but it's pretty good just by itself. The name of the talk was Happiness Equation. U, the letter U, equals the letter I minus the letter R. So, Happiness Equation, U equals I minus R. And Dennis Prager did this one. They often have many other people doing it. Dennis Prager did this one, and he said, I'm going to tell you the secret of unhappiness. Okay, there you go. And he was talking about the fact that everybody wants to be happy. He said, obviously, everybody wants to be happy. So he said, why isn't everybody happy? He said, the obvious answer is that it's not easy. So what are the obstacles, then, that keep you from being happy? In his opinion, the single biggest obstacle is that people naturally compare themselves to others and assume nearly all of those others are happier than they are. Now, I think it's very important here. I just want to underline one word that he said there because we're coming back to it later. He says the single biggest obstacle is that people naturally, that's the word I'm going to focus on later, that people naturally compare themselves to others and assume nearly all of those others are happier than they are. Okay. So he said on the basis of that, he said you can derive an equation. But the equation to determine unhappiness is U equals I minus R. And that means U as a person, you're, or no, 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 you, the unhappiness, the amount of unhappiness in your life is directly related to I image, the image that you have of what life should be like for you, minus R, the reality of what your life is actually like. That's the amount of unhappiness that you will have. By this formula, if the image that you have of your life is vast and expansive, and your reality is starved and small, what will happen? You will get more unhappy. And you will be more and more unhappy. And he followed this up by talking about his own personal experience, and it was similar to mine. Young men, when they are learning and growing and, one moment, getting the mail, they have a tendency to imagine what their life is going to be like. Dennis Prager talked about the fact that he imagined that his life, that he would have a beautiful wife, and that he would have four kids, and that they would sit around the table and talk philosophy and theology, and wouldn't that be great? sadly, he got divorced. He said sometimes his kids didn't even want to talk to him, etc., etc. So in that process, then, of course, you experience some unhappiness because there is this disconnect between image and reality. And he gave other examples of the disconnect between image and reality, for instance, anorexia, where what is the reality of, I'm backing into my garage, of how thin a young lady is does not match what the image is that is in her brain. And so she ends up doing things like starving herself so that she can be closer to the image that she is trying to portray in her brain. No, he talked about midlife crises that men go through, that really what this is about, and he's right, is this image they had of what their life was going to be like and how that the reality is not lining up with that. So they're unhappy. So then they go and they act out. Now then, as far as what to do about solutions for this, Dennis Prager had basically two things. He said, invent a new image. That's okay. That's pretty good advice. I mean, up to this point, I was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Good job. This is a very simple way of expressing it. So his solutions were, you should invent a new image. Okay. That's a possibility, sure. And you should celebrate the reality that you have. That's a good idea too. Sound advice. Because he said if you don't celebrate the reality that you have, the image that you're carrying around in your head might ruin that reality. That is true as well. Where I don't think it goes quite far enough, and anyone who's listened to this podcast for any amount of time has probably already guessed where I'm going, but in case you haven't, Dennis Prager says that people naturally compare themselves to others. And I would agree that naturally is a good term for it, because we do carry around a nature that is more than happy for us to compare ourselves to others. In fact, it is my belief that we have a nature that constantly heckles us and reminds us and needles at us to compare ourselves to others. Because that nature, that flesh, that sin nature, if you want the theological term, is constantly looking for ways to increase the level of misery and disappointment and anger and wrath that is within us. And one of the ways it does this is by convincing us that life is not fair, that we deserve more. And it does that by causing us to look at other people. Well, why did they get to do this? And why did that? How come I don't get to? And I don't have to. And that flesh is just constantly pushing on you, trying to make you see all the things that you should be unhappy about. And I understand that. You know, I do experience that too. The question is, are you going to listen to it? So while it is true that we naturally compare ourselves to others, we rarely ever find any kind of contentment and satisfaction in doing that. What we really need to do is focus on the gifts that we've been given, focus on using those gifts to the best of our ability, focus on kindness and grace and mercy and generosity. And in the process of that, it won't really matter what other people are doing, because there will be a wellspring of joy within you, especially if it's in the process of all that. You always make sure that your mind is centered on God's love for you and God's grace, that you are aware and open to His joy, and you're not all this concerned about what someone else is getting and what someone else is doing. I had a friend last week. Was it last week? And did I mention it? I'm not sure. Anyways, in a generic way, basically what it came down to is he was looking at a friend who was taking something that was rightful and entitled to him to take. And in the process of that, it caused my friend to have a little more weight and responsibility on him. And he was telling me that he would prefer if that other guy wouldn't take those, you know, privileges so much. But, you know, it's the way the system's constructed. He has every right and privilege to take that. Okay, he's going to take it. And all you can really do at that point is not worry about what he's doing, but simply say, you know what, I'm getting in today. I'm going to have extra responsibilities. I'm looking at it. Jesus is going to help me. We're going to putter through. If I end up with something I don't really know what to do with, things can wait. Because that's a much better approach, just to say, this is what it is. I'll do the best I can do, but I can't do any more than the best. It's much better to do that than spend any energy at all trying to figure out a way that that guy is supposed to do something different so that your life can be different. Because if you just end up waiting for people to do something, you're mostly going to be disappointed. But in all of this, I think the really important thing to remember is that this natural comparison that we have with others, that is not spirit. That is flesh. And you can bet it will lead down a road to destruction. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.